choices have consequences. Each one of us make decisions each year, and not only each year, but each month, and not just month, but week, and let me take it further, each day. According to the studies, on average, an adult makes 35,000 conscious decisions each day. Think of that. Today, if the statistics are right, by the end of the day, adults will make 35,000 decisions. And when tomorrow comes, you'll do the same. A child makes about 3,000 decisions each day. And you would think, a child? I thought as a parent, I'm telling them what to do, and they're just supposed to do it. But you know that when they choose to obey you, that's a decision already that they made. Or if they choose not to obey, that's also a decision that they make. And that tells us that each decision that we're making, we can make it for good, or we can make some not so good decisions in our life. The Bible says, choose life or death. The Word of God puts before us a path and gives us the ability and reminds us that we can choose to go God's way or our own way. Children, the decisions that you are making today will determine who you are tomorrow. And when you look at us adults and parents and you find flaws in us, and it's also because we have made some wrong decisions in our life, and because of that, it had affected us, molded us, and now we are those people. But thanks be to God for the hope that we have in Him. That we can change from glory to be more like Him. That we don't have to stay the same. But the Bible does call us and reminds us of this life and the seriousness of this life. That once it's given to me and to you, and what we do with it, it's our decision. Apostle Paul teaches us that if we so in the flesh, we will reap from the flesh. And what we reap from the flesh, it's not goodness, mercy, and love. It's not. But when we sow in the flesh, when we make decisions that will satisfy our flesh, as a result, we will reap sin. Yes, sin, not mistakes, sin. But the Bible also calls me and you to sow in the Spirit. So it's possible for me and for you, when we make decisions in life, that we make decisions sober-minded. Not impulsively, but calculated. And keeping this always in our mind, that our decisions not will only affect me, but the people around me. Fathers, your decisions will not only affect you and me as a father, but our marriage and our family, our children. Mothers, the decisions that we will make as a body, as women of God, will affect our families. Our children, they watch us. Sow in unity. Sow in biblical principles to live our lives. Sow in preferring one another above your ambitions. Sow in love and in words that build, not destroy. Make a decision today to say the world can say whatever what they want. The culture can celebrate what they celebrate, but the Word of God is the same and never changes. And we as believers, as families, We're not called to be transformed to this world, but we are called to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit and live according to the Word of God. We can make a decision not to say, well, it's accepted because in the culture we live on, in. Brothers and sisters, we are to make a difference in the culture that we live in. We are called to change the culture if the culture is wacky. We're not to say, well, because it's accepted in the culture, all of a sudden I'm going to compromise the principles of the Word of God to be able to just live my life how I want. Choose today. Choose today to say, not a chance. Because my choice and my decision that I'm going to be making today out of 35,000 decisions, out of 25,000 choices that I will make today, I want to make sure that my decisions as a result are going to be good and not evil. That my decisions will build and not destroy. Sometimes we say, well, the word just jumped out of my mouth. Our words are not a frog that just jump. You have a decision. You can make a choice. You can use self-control, and I can do the same to say, I'm not going to say things that will offend somebody. I'm not gonna discuss my disagreements with my spouse in front of my children. I'm gonna do that in private. I'm gonna make a decision. And it doesn't mean that we're fake. It means that we protect our children. In these formative years, that we are for them and not against them. We will make a decision. Then when we talk to our children about our spouse, that we're not gonna be talking in a negative light, but we are gonna be talking in honorable light. Because they're the parents of the child as well. When there's disagreements, I've heard one pastor say this. There's so much divorces that are going on in the house of God now. For every little stupid thing, all of a sudden divorce is the answer. What about long-suffering? What about asking the Lord to help us to go through everything, even for the sake of our children? Oh, the husband gets an attorney, the wife gets an attorney, but who's the attorney for the children? Don't ever forget that God is their attorney. And you better not mess things up. We belong to Jesus Christ. And don't be so quick to be so selfish, to find ways in your decisions to protect your ego. But we are called to serve one another. And we're so amazed and agree to that servanthood till the moment that somebody treats us like it. And all of a sudden we get offended. I did not sign up for that. No. The Bible is very clear on the principles that we are to live by in the world that we live in. And I'm sorry if you're offended, but I'm not offended by the truth. And Joshua, he was one of the mighty men, a general that led the people into the promised land. And during the journey, when he was about 110 years old, one of the last words that he began to talk to the nation of Israel before he passed away, he began to recount all the mercies of the Lord. He did not say how great I am or how I accomplished things, but how great the Lord was. How amazing God was that he brought us into the promised land. But he also began to remind the nation of Israel that you live in a land where there is diversity. You live in a land where people worship idols. You live in the land where you can make decisions for yourself. I'm not going to be here to fight for you, but even at 110 years old, Joshua, in chapter 24, verse 15 and down says this, "But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It was not easy for them. They came through battles and they came through hell to get to the promised land. But Joshua knew that in time of peace and in time when everything seems fine, the enemy is at work as well. And he was reminding the nation of Israel, "I am not going to be with you always, but remember that there is a God. And if you dishonor his name, if you choose to go against his plan and choose to serve false gods, choose to live your own way, I'm going to warn you that God is going to be against you. But today I'm going to lead by example. I cannot make you to live a certain way. I can only remind you what the word of God says." But Joshua says, "But for me and my house, I made a decision. We will serve the Lord." Fathers, men of God, leaders of the home, you are the head of your home. Make a decision today that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Don't put it off to the school. Don't put it off to the Sunday school. Don't put it off things and responsibilities to babysitting people that are coming to help you with your family. But this morning, I plead with you to rise in the name of Jesus and to make a decision that will affect the rest of your life and the rest of your children's life and your family. To say, "Enough is enough. I'm going to make a decision." And this is the most important decision in your life, to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. Now, I want to ask a question. When I read this from Joshua 24, "But me and my house," and I stop there, I want you to ponder upon that. This is one of the most well-known verses and quoted verses, especially in the Christian world, because we know the end, how Joshua ended, "But me and my house will serve the Lord." But my challenge this morning, not to read that verse in fullness, because that was Joshua's words. And as good as the quotation is, we have to fill the rest of the verse for ourselves. Is it true? And this is the thought that I want you to provoke you to think and ponder upon. "But me and my house," fill in the blank. "But me and my house," it's chaos. "But me and my house," there is disunity. "But me and my house," there is no submission, biblical submission, healthy submission. Yes, the Bible talks about that. "But me and my house," there is no love like Christ loved the church. But today you can say, "But me and my house will serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord." I'm sharing these things because I love you. My heart goes out for you. For me, for our family, for our marriages. When we meet with the elders and the leaders of the church to pray each Sunday backstage here, we cry out for your families and we pray for you and throughout the week. Because the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so often we give into that plan because of the lack of standing upon the word of God and say, "No, it's a choice I'm gonna do. I'm going to make a decision, but me and my house no longer is going to be chaos, but we will serve the Lord. No longer I'm going to look for ways to justify my behavior, but I'm going to bring my behavior to the cross and ask Jesus Christ to transform me and change me to be more like him. And I'm going to make a decision to serve the Lord." We're looking around the society. People are scared to get married and commit. Can it be because we have failed what it means a godly home? People rather live together without any commitment. Because of fear, and because maybe we fail to a degree to exhibit the truths of the Word of God and to say, we will make it, not only through good times, but through the storm, we will make it. Because everything that comes against us, the plan of the enemy is to destroy us. But Jesus Christ has come to give us assurance that He's with us and He will carry us through. Praise be to God. When I was dating my wife, she was scared to get married. Some of the experiences and the things she saw, she said, if that's what marriage looks like, I don't want anything to do with that. I would be happy to be single. And she was getting close to be 30 years old. And I began to talk with her and I said, well, we can make this work. And she's just in fear. And she said, Pavel, I do not know how I'm going to spend all of my life with you. I said, what do you mean all of your life? Half of your life is over. It's just another half. At that moment, she says, I think I can do that. And here we are. Make a decision and right decision. One decision, one step, one day at a time. Don't be led in fear, but be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not as bad as the world says it is. It can be a beautiful thing. Having children, it's a beautiful thing. Being married to the right person, it's a beautiful thing. Singing together, worshiping the Lord, coming to the house of prayer, it's an amazing thing. And don't let the enemy fool you otherwise. Hallelujah. What a beautiful thing that is. But there is a few decisions as the worship team comes. Few decisions that we will make in life that are vital and very important. And I'll share them, and then I'll close with the most important decision that we are to make. Choose your friends wisely. You can't choose the family that you were born in, but you can choose who you hang out with. There's a saying that says, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Friendship molds people. It impacts behaviors. And ultimately, we become who we hang out with. Choose your friends wisely. Choose wisely who you marry. A while back, I kind of was thinking about this and I came up with the thought, maybe somebody wrote it somewhere in a book, I'm not sure, but I'll claim it that I came up with. If you want to taste what heaven is like on earth, marry the right person. Because there's the closest thing for us to understand this communion that we have as a church of Jesus Christ and Himself. But if you desire to taste what hell is like on earth, marry the wrong person. And you're gonna live a life according to the Word of God. It's gonna be a battle because you're not gonna wanna go there. But when you do marry, it's a commitment. Children, it's a commitment. Youth, students, it's a commitment for life. It's not a joke. There is no spare tire. There is no different option. There is not a second option. The Bible is very limited when it gives a green light to divorce. Very, very limited. Are we people of the Bible? That's why every decision that we are to make in light of the Word of God, to stand upon the Word of God, and to say, God, help me. The decisions that we make with our children can dictate who they are tomorrow. And of course, you might be here as a parent, and I talk with some of you, and you say, I did everything right, it seems like, and they're not walking with the Lord. Don't give up praying for your children. I remember growing up, there were moments that if I want to dwell upon when my parents were not good examples, there are plenty of those. And sometimes we tend to do that. But I also saw the other side of my parents, that they loved us. They visited the sick, they took us with them. They visited the poor, they took us with them. Do you think as a child I wanted to do that? I wanted to play soccer. I wanted to play games and I wanted to fool around in the village. But they knew that they must invest into the children. Before we were going to school, even if it was 30 seconds prayer, sometimes the bus is waiting at the driveway. And my mom and my dad will come, no, we must pray. The bus is beeping. And I'm not talking about just pray. No. We're going to kneel down in front of the door. We're going to kneel down and we're going to pray. God, protect them, bless them, keep them in Jesus' name. Sometimes I thought that's silly. Mom, come on. I'm so embarrassed. The driver is over there. But my parents knew that they are to do these things because it forms us as children. And now at 38 years old, guess what I'm doing? I'm doing exactly the same things. It's not because how amazing I am, but because when I was a child, it seems like my parents maybe don't know much and they don't know all the technology. They're kind of like not advanced in all of the things that the opportunities out there in schools and what we're learning. What do they know? But my parents never gave up. They sowed seeds. They made a decision. They sowed seeds. Even when I would come late at night, when I was wavering in my walk with the Lord, they were praying for me. They sowed seeds. And they never drew back. They sowed seeds. They did not reject me, but they sowed seeds. And now the seeds are coming in my life, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for that, that there was somebody that made a decision because they knew that the decisions have consequences. And because of those decisions and their prayers and the mercies of God, I am where I am today. And I'm not there yet, but I'm striving to walk forward with the Lord. I remind my children almost every week, sometimes a few times a day, children, you are leaders. You're not followers. When they go to school, I grab them, I look them in the eyes. When they make bad decisions because their friends did something bad and all of a sudden they did it because they were part of the group, I look at them and say, you are a leader, not a follower. You are a follower of Christ and a leader to other people to lead them to Christ. I'm sowing seeds for them to remember all the days of their life, children that are here. You might be screaming and talking, but I know you're listening because psychologically it's been proven that children, even though when we think they're zoned out, they're not. We sow seeds. You are leaders, youth that are here. Students, you are leaders, not followers. And the moment you find yourself following a bad crowd, following someone that does something wrong, no, this is a reminder to say, no. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I will become a leader to the ones that are in need to point them to Jesus Christ. Elijah. The altars were broken. In 1 Kings chapter 18, he began to cry out to the Lord. He began to rebuild the altars. And this is one thing that I believe it's so essential in our life to grasp upon those words. He says these words, God, I did everything according to your word. And I believe that's the key of success. I believe that's the key of living. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have challenges in life. But he says, I did everything according to your word. But now there is something that I cannot fake it. You have to bring the fire down. And this one, God responds to his prayer and sends the fire down. And he looks at the people and he says, but you people, how long you're going to be double-minded? How long you're going to try to serve two gods? How long you're not going to be sure what you want to do today? And he says the same words, choose today whom you're going to serve. And this is the most important decision, as good as all the other decisions that I talked shortly about as parents and as children. The most important decision is to follow Jesus Christ. Choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today where you're going to listen. Choose today the words you're going to be speaking. Choose today what you're going to do with the family. Choose today what altar you're asking the Lord to bring fire upon. And if you can say in confidence, God, I did everything according to your word, to the best of my abilities. Now you send your blessings. You send your covering. You send your mercy. Jesus backs up his word. His word, hallelujah. Because his word is a seed that will never turn void, but always will produce fruit in our life. Hallelujah. And that's why Elijah turned to people and says, choose today. And I'm giving you a call this morning to choose today to give your life to Jesus Christ, to give your life to him, to submit to his will, and to submit under the authority, say authority, under authority of the word of God. And when we submit to the authority of the word of God, it would be very, very possible and to an extent easy to fulfill the word of God. Amen. So this morning as we stand, I plead with you, choose to serve the Lord. Make a decision each day to serve the Lord. And I've asked the students to sing the song again that they sang. And if you're here today, by coming up front to this altar, you're saying, I'm choosing today to submit to the word of God and to live my life according to the word of God. And if this is you, come respond to this altars, and after the song, we'll pray together.